So it is about the time. It is about, you know, what do we do with the time? It is about taking that next step. And that's what climbing is. It's just taking one step at a time, moving from one level to the other level. And so today we are in chapter, what's that, 11? Chapter 9? Chapter 11? 9. 1X is 9. And it's in the Essential Earnest by Ernest Holmes. And the topic is, the world has suffered enough. Time to jump off of this suffering. And so it sounds a little bit as though it's such a tough topic to talk about. I remembered when we were getting the topics together and the practitioner sat down and was like, why do I have to get this one? And then I remembered Connie said, you know, and she explained, well, it's not only about the suffering, it's, you know, the cause and effect and all that good stuff. And that's okay, we can turn that around. And it is truly, truly, when I read the passage, I did read some, you know, the suffering aspect of the world, of humans, but I also saw so much hope and so much transcending from one area of your life to the other. And that is the most amazing thing about this chapter. The world has suffered enough. So today's talk, basically, if we have to condense it, is truly about oneness. It's truly about what's the result of our thoughts, what is the result of not seeing the world or seeing the entire universe, seeing our existence as one. And it's about universal principles, which is the principles of cause and effect. It's also the principles, the law of circulation. And, you know, allowing ourselves to make the choices that would keep us in alignment. And so it's about awakening to our true state, which is absolutely not an illusion, but a reality. And our true state is all the beautiful qualities that God is. It is about the law or principle that will quite impersonally bring into our lives the results of our own choosing. It is about the suffering and painful experiences we go through, but it's also about the joys and delight we experience when we change our thoughts, our thinking around. And it's about believing. It's about the climb. It's about knowing that right here, right now, if the climb feels difficult, then I have a choice to make. I can go back. I can stay where I am. I can make baby steps to keep moving, to keep moving on. And so, things I need to know that's going to happen today is knowing that the universe is a very fair universe. God is very just. And God is so impersonal, it has to be just. It has to be square, level across the board. And we know that the universe never lets us down. Life never fails us. Life is cause and effect. And that cause and effect is what we are living right here, right now. It is our life now. And it is the greatest ally we can ever have, just knowing that we are breathing human beings. That is the number one joy, because we know that this life is for me. It has to be for me. Life cannot contradict itself. Breath, life, cannot contradict itself. And so it can never be against the unfolding of what my desires, what I want to be desired. So knowing also that thoughts are created in mind and that they are truly creative, they really grow, and they grow like crazy. And so we have to keep our thoughts in check, or keep the thoughts that will be would be appropriate for us to stay in that wonderful alignment that aligns with our values, aligns with our morals, aligns with our spiritual, our emotion. Just choose the thoughts that would help us stay in that plane. Like in the Bible, it would say, you know, the wheat and the tares grow together. So we do have unwelcomed thoughts within our system. And sometimes they go unchecked, and then these unwelcome thoughts, they keep spreading, and they grow, and they grow, and they can spread so much that they turn into fear. They make us afraid. They make us coward. They make us feel insufficient. So these are some of the things that we could focus on. So it's up to us to choose which ones we allow to flourish in our lives. Each of us at any moment is exactly where we belong because of the thoughts that we are thinking by right of consciousness. Where we are right here, right now, is exactly where we need to be. And until we see differently, until we know and understand differently, then we give ourselves permission to move on to the next level of living. And there we would be in our right place also. Every area, every place, good, not so good, conditions don't look too good, or conditions look great. We are where we are because of the consciousness that we hold at the time. And so I wanted us to know too that there is no fate, F-A-T-E, but it's our own sowing of our own seeds. And again, this is where the right of consciousness comes in. I don't believe there is any destiny also. It is our choices. I don't think there are any bad breaks, any bad luck, or even good luck or good breaks. Again, it is the silent unfolding of our minds, the silent unfolding of the thoughts that we hold dear. And again, there is something called dominant thoughts. And that's when I say the thoughts we hold dear, I think those would be the more dominant thoughts, the ones that are right out in front of our faces. And those are the ones we pay attention to. Whether it is leading us in the direction we want to go, or it's leading us in a direction away from where we are. But the thoughts are what will absolutely be the creative force in our lives. And so we have to watch what we are planting, like we did the plant, the sowing, and the garden episode of one time when we did an earlier chapter. And so we can rearrange our minds to choose differently today, making impactions on our own creation. And so there is, from the book, The Essential Earnest, there's a quote which says, "The world is beginning to realize that it has learned all it should through pain and suffering." So let's talk a little bit about suffering since we are the chapter. The chapter is about suffering. Get it out of the way so we can focus on other stuff. So tell me, what are some of the world's ills? What are some of the sufferings that you think our world is bogged down with, or even in America?
Violence.
War. Poor self-image.
Disease.
Yes.
Selfishness.
Yes.
Pollution. What?
pollution, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, these are all the different forms of suffering. And you're wondering, so why do we have suffering? You know, where does it come from? And who is responsible? Of course, don't expect an answer from me. But I have, you know, I have a few suggestions. And of course, I forgot my book in the car that I need to read my, anyone has a Science of Mind book here?
No. Can I run up and get it for
you? No, it's parked on the side.
Parked up here?
I could run.
No,
I could really run.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Stop and you will just start it. So I'm reading from the Science of Mind textbook, page 465, and the second chapter. We know by intuition that there is something beyond what we have so far consciously experienced in this world. I'll read that again. We know by intuition that there is something beyond what we have so far consciously experienced in this world. Poets have sung of it, and there are moments in the lives of all when the veil seems thin between, and we almost enter into the heavenly estate. This is the meaning of coming to one's self. We are still in the awakening state. We have not yet consciously entered into the state of perfect wholeness. We know that such a state is a reality, and that we shall yet attain this reality. Nothing can dislodge this inner and intuitive perception from our mentality. We know it as certainly as we know that we live. This is God in us knowing Himself. We are awakening to the realization that the universe is perfect and complete. It gives. It is love. It is good and wills only good to all alike. And so I just knew by when I read that that verse that it just felt good that it's about wholeness. It's about just knowing and realizing that at certain point in our life, because of our experiences, that we fail to see because of the veil. This veil is sort of making it a little clouded. But should the veil be lifted, we can see this absolute eternal oneness that we are it. And so just knowing and realizing that the universe is perfect and complete is one of the biggest ways we can start thinking differently about illnesses, about suffering, about you know, what the world's ills are. We latch on to what is good and right and perfect. There is no need for any other thing except knowing that we are one, which obviously we deal as a human race a lot in duality. You know, we talk about black and white. We talk about rich and poor. We talk about good and bad. But in the whole scheme of things, truly, you know, I think, Connie, you had a student that had a range of things attached to a string or
this happened, yeah.
Okay.
For her pizza thing, it had spirals on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, in either direction it was whole and perfect, and yes, there were experiences along the way, but it's just the one aspect of it. And I really like that that presentation that she had given. So evil just know in our hearts that that evil is truly not an entity. Evil in itself is I'll go back to this page 429 and this. I'll skip that. The more I read this lesson, the more I realize that the universe is for us and not against us. Sometimes we think about, okay, there is this force that we call bad, that we call evil in our lives. And while studying the lesson, I thought, okay, well, maybe if I can go within and feel goodness, maybe I could try to go in and see if I could feel anything else but goodness within. And so it was a little bit of a lesson when I said, okay, take a deep breath and think about evil. You know? And it was such an annoying feeling within. And that was one clue for me that it's not something that is it's not intrinsic, it's not within. And I've realized that it is not an ultimate existence. It is an experience of cloudiness, or it's an experience of something going awry in our lives, and we label it as evil. It is evil to me is something that can never reside within me. It's not a source of power. It is intuitively absolutely not within us. There is no reservoir of evil that I can draw from. It is not an entity that has strength and has emotions that can dictate my life. You know, we would say sorry or excuse me or I didn't mean to hurt you. And where does this come from? If we had a source or a sense of evil that was within us, then doing something that is absolutely opposite to how we feel and how we feel aligned with others, it would have come like natural. It would have been like, oh, I hurt you. Have a good day. But it doesn't happen like that. Something causes a stirring us that is just not aligning with the goodness and the good feelings of who we truly are inside. And so these are little juvenile thoughts that I had while going through this, that, you know, there truly is not something that is evil, because there is, it's not feeling as if it's absolutely aligned with my core. And that was a big sort of aha for me, that, okay, I could hear all the mind games, I can hear all the brain, the academic aspects of evil, but I personally had a chance to feel an experience that truly, if I go within, I could never draw a thought that is labeled as evil. So, is there a source of evil? I say no. And so if we don't have it within, then absolutely it's not. It cannot be without, because as within, so without. But this one that I would definitely need to read is from The Basic Principles of Science of Mind. And this is a book that kind of helps me a lot with my understanding of everyday living. Page 9. It is The Basic Principles of Science of Mind by Frederick Bales, Dr. Frederick Bales. And number 5. It's labeled Cause and Effect. Sorry, The Problem of Evil. The Problem of Evil. Here, it might be well to point out that the Bible is made more understandable and reasonable when one understands a certain principle of interpretation, which is this: the word law, L-A-W, can often be substituted for Lord, L-O-R-D. God is not vengeful, but the impersonal law of cause and effect produces what looks like vengeance. It does not do it with intent to punish, however, any more than the river punishes with drowning the person who falls into it before he has learned to swim. The river will drown him without hating him. On the other hand, if he has learned to swim, it will, without loving him, buoy him up as he makes for shore. In both cases, it is utterly impersonal. So the law of cause and effect is equally impersonal. It will produce illness or health. It will produce poverty or plenty, happiness or unhappiness, with the same completeness. When the Bible says, in effect, I am the Lord, I created good and I created evil, those who have not understood this interchangeability of Lord and law have said, how can that be that a God of love creates evil also? The answer is that the law, L-A-W, is the automatic bringer of man's thought into form. If man's thought is evil, it is the law. I, the law, create it into evil. If his thought is good, I, the law, create it into good. This is the universal law of cause and effect, which is the only way in which the infinite intelligence works. So sometimes if you say, you know, if you interchange the law and Lord, sometimes it makes a difference because it literally puts you right there, that the law will make it happen regardless. And so that was an interesting revelation for me. So evil as we see it will disappear when we stop paying attention to it. And again, this is where the thoughts come from. When we stop looking at it or even indulging in the thought habit of what we call evil. As long as we believe in it, it will be right there for us to continue to focus on. So one of the most illuminating things which the mystics have revealed is that there is not an ultimate reality. It is simply an experience of the soul on its journey towards reality. So now, let's talk a little bit about what feels really good. And here, good to me would mean a nice intrinsic ah. It's not even an aha, because an aha is like a quick realization, an awakening. But it's just knowing that there's an easy and a peaceful ah within me that, thank you, Jasper, that I want to focus on. So it feels like there's always a reservoir of grace when I just even simply close my eyes and just focus on me within. It's like, it feels so good. It just feels so easy, so peaceful. It just feels like it's just absolute goodness. So I know that there's a reservoir of grace that I can draw from, even in the worst of times, even when I think there is suffering. You know, there are feelings of inadequacies, as Judy had mentioned. And it plays out big time, you know, in our everyday lives. And a lot of the times, you know, one would go home, sometimes it happens to me, would be at home and it's like, oh my goodness, I just want to sleep. I just want this to, you know, to go in the back of me. But, you know, Ernest talks about it even the great mystics have talked about, just the fact that there is an illumination, there is that wholeness, there is that feeling of hopefulness in our next moment. From one moment to the next, we have that feeling of grace, that feeling of givingness, that feeling that God is expressing in and through me. And so we just have to realize that the universe is our ultimate existence, and it is never, will never be against us. So regardless of what our experiences are and what we label it as, in terms of suffering, in terms of ill health, it's an experience, and it is all in the flow of life. It's in the flow of givingness. It's in the flow of, it is what life is, but it is up to us to reach a little further, go a little further, and figure out, where am I in my thoughts? Where am I? Where is this veil? What is clouding my thinking? Why is the world at war? Why is America having a huge economic issue? Why is, you know, tons of whys? And so, just knowing in our hearts that it is already okay, it's already okay, would bring a peace to my heart. Know it intuitively. Just know that regardless of what we may be going through, the big picture is that I am okay. It is okay. I have a God. I have an existence. I have a life that is rallying on my behalf. If God be for me, who can be against me? And if my life is what presents itself right here and now, how else can it be against me? And so the only ways that we can work, one of the ways we can work with it is really and truly just to know that it's really and truly okay. It's already laid out. There's nothing we need to do. That's why we call it the eternal givenness of God, because there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we need to do. We just have to open to the horn of plenty, open to the goodness of God, open to the compassion, open to the ease, the grace, the peace. Just open ourselves to things like these, and it puts us into a different plane of thinking. There's the eternal comforter, which I call, you know, that sweet core, that soft core that is within me. And that's the comforter that says when things go wrong and I feel less than, or I feel hurt, or I feel ill, or I feel whatever might be happening, that is the same comforter that says, this too shall pass, you know? And it's the same comforter that says, there is always tomorrow. And it's the same comforting spirit and compassion spirit that we have inside, that we know intrinsically that if we sleep, tomorrow would be a different day. We can see things differently, and it's a new beginning. It's a new, almost a new creative aspect of us looking at the same situation in a different light. And so, just know that God takes care of it of Himself. If God, being God within us, will take care of Himself. God takes care of the suffering, the ones that we perceive as suffering. They too are one with us. It's all one. You know, there's the war, and there is the, you know, I'm not sure about the famine. I don't think we've had famine for a while. But, you know, there's all these atrocious terroristic activities, and, you know, the mosque activities and all that stuff. Just know that we are one. And if we can see in that oneness then a lot of our difficulties would easily just fade into to non-existence and just truly accept that it's one reality. Not even using the word God, because the word God sometimes could be so confusing to so many different religious sections. But if we know that we are just the one ultimate eternal activity that is operating right here, right now, as each individual person, making, you know, just intertwining and having the world, making the world the place where we want it, with the results we want, then I think it's going to be a whole lot better. But it's just knowing and understanding that we have a veil that's clouding our judgment. And unless we can see and know that our thoughts are contributing to the ills that we are facing, until then, I think it's going to continue. However, again, if God be for us, there's nothing, no one that can be against us. So know this, keep it in your heart, have it warm your desires whenever you remember this. And it is our breathing right, absolutely, just to know that we are alive and participating in human activity. And so let's just talk a little bit about limitations, and then we're going to wrap it up. So the reason that I think so the question is there any reason why we think we cannot achieve whatever we want? Is there any reason why we can't have the results that we put out there, that we would like to see experienced in our lives? Knowing, taking into consideration that it's already laid out for us, it's already there, it's just for receiving, it's just for opening and then receiving. And so one of the things that I know can get into the way of us seeing cloudy is, again, our limitations and our thinking that it's God and if we can remove the and just know that it's all God, then that's a huge limitation that is lifted. Again, with our thoughts, we have to remember that our thoughts are very, very creative, and if we pay attention to the thoughts we have, whichever direction we would like our results to unfold in, those are the thoughts we would want to maintain and to keep right in front of us. Stay focused on those types of thoughts. Limitations come from our problems. You know, we look in the past and we see all these problems that we've gone through, or we've seen the problems of the world, and we are like, oh my goodness, how can we solve them? But if we look at not even solving the problems that have happened, but really looking at what are my expectations, what are the results that I want right here, right now, looking at what has happened, how can I make a difference to what is happening? And I think in that way, we can take more responsibility for our actions. Instead of solving another person's problems, instead of solving the world's problems, just each person acting on their own behalf, staying in alignment with their core values, and generally core values will line up with the values, with the qualities that God is. Generally, it's like that. You know, core values, people want to have a peaceful, joyful life. People look forward. You rarely ever hear people saying, I have a core value of raw hate, you know. And so core values are very much in alignment with the goodness and the grace that God is. And so I'm thinking that, you know, if we line up with who we are, that a lot of the results, a lot of the answers are going to come very swiftly. Now, one of the things I know, with especially with politicians now, they look at all the problems in the world. And the person that articulates these problems the best, I think those are the ones that get elected, you know. They go out there and they say, you know, there's a problem with the deficit, there's a problem with the stimulus, there's a problem with the international relations, there's a problem with the war, nuclear weapons, there's a problem with everything. And they go out there and they say what they need to say, and they say it with gusto. And without even hearing what their own results would be looking like, I think the majority of people, you know, would go out and say, hey, this guy seems to know, have a handle on the problem. And so this is an issue where I think even if politicians would represent us in the House or in the Senate, if they even come to their own core values also and line up with who, you know, with this wonderful givenness of God and having things work out perfectly. And I'm not only talking about America, I'm talking about worldwide. Just have their own resulting values as their own, you know, as a political candidate could make a difference, you know. I don't know, I've never been a politician. So basically, just to wrap everything up, just know that in suffering, we see suffering, and we have the compassionate heart to even recognize suffering. We know when it's different than what it needs to be. We know when it's out of alignment, and that's a wonderful quality of us as human beings, because in that way we can open our hearts and we can be more of who we truly are in terms of reaching out and making things better, making ourselves better first, making our neighbors better, making the world better. However, we also know, and I think we are quite fortunate to know, that suffering is not something that is taught to us, or suffering, and I'm talking about the world's ills also, you know, it just didn't say, okay, today you're going to suffer and this is what's going to happen. I mean, it's hundreds of years that things have been taking place, the thought patterns have continued to evolve and get more and more maybe strong is the word that is coming to me, but very firm, very, very meshed in. And once things are meshed in like that, it's very hard to break the national and international kind of reaction to what suffering is. But we, as people who know a little different, we know that we can change it one person at a time with our own thoughts, choosing to react differently, choosing to be the change that we want to be, choosing, just making different choices that would work for us. It's not selfish. Trust me, it's not going to be a selfish issue. But if it works for us, usually it works for everybody else, because we are all one. And if we stay with our core values, if we stay with our God-given right of being the love that we are, of being the beautiful human beings that we are, to care and to share our thoughts, to share our own goodness with each other, then I think we are in for a good deal. So I thank you very much for listening to me, and I, it's, you know, struggle and poverty and all that stuff, it's a little tough to talk about, but just know overall that it's all good. It's all God. And stay in the oneness and stay true to who and what you truly are. Thank you.